I'm right there with you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How is everybody this morning? Blessed. Blessed, excellent. Wow, all sounds good. Are we awake?
No.
Well, I'm back there half asleep, so you bear with me. Does anybody have any announcements today? Karen? That's okay. Age before beauty, Frank.
Okay. That's me. I want to remind people about the changes of the directory. Any changes or additions or so forth, please make it known, because we want to try to get that together about the first week of December.
Okay, now beauty.
All right. We were going to have a short trustees meeting today. We're going to postpone that till next week. But we are going to start a church cemetery grower. And the members are Faye Wolf, Danny Peters, Maxine Troxel, me, and Nancy. And we have a consultant helping us guide the way. An expert, if you will, on this is Sam Martz. So we're going to just have a brief meeting to meet when we can schedule a meeting after church. We'll be gone.
Okay. Maxine?
Linda and I want to thank everybody that helped with the egg sale yesterday. We did better than we ever did before, $774.
Amazing.
There are some things left that we didn't sell, so please help yourself, but we do ask for a donation, and if there's a donation box back there, so go ahead and put your donation money in the box. And so we appreciate everybody's help and everybody's contributed money and time and effort, so thank you.
God is good.
He's great.
And what's the answer to that? God is good all the time. Or all the time God is good. I saw Miss Wanda. Wait, let's just wait till these. I think I started a little too early. I got out of the gate too quick. Let's give some people some chance here to settle in. Okay, Miss Wanda. Jerry sent me it was even numbered, 1, 2, 3, announcements. Yeah. He says program starts at 6:30 with Weller Church providing a Weller Church puppet program.
Yeah, so we were lucky to be able to get them. And they do it, they don't charge, so that's great, but we will do a goodwill offering, you know, because that goes back into their
very nice program. So thank you. I think I'm done for today.
Anybody else?
I forgot. It's Friday, hopefully. I'll be putting the Christmas flowers in the windows.
Okay. Okay. And along with that, everybody knows the routine. You can, I guess somebody will make the little cards up, and if you want to purchase a flower in memory of or in honor of, then you see Maxine.
Kelly's going to do the cards.
Okay, Kelly's going to do the cards. Jerry also had a reminder here, and I think it's in the bulletin, but you can't say it enough, because if you're like I am, I don't really look at the back of the bulletin. I'm sorry to say, I always do the meat and potatoes inside the bulletin. But candlelight service December 22nd at 6:30. And he also reminded me that there is a very special date today. And I bet not many of us know it because it's not on the national calendar. But we have a young couple here celebrating today their 62nd wedding anniversary. Can anybody guess who that is? We know it's not Pat and Frank. They were Halloween people. Huh? Bob and Linda. So if you get a chance, give them a hug and a kiss for their 62nd wedding anniversary today. All righty. Now, is that all the announcements? We're good to go. It's a good thing I started a little sooner. Now, let's quiet our hearts and minds and just contemplate on the Lord as Miss Jackie plays the prelude. Was that it as well with my soul? I thought so. I think that was in favor of Miss Pauline's, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Call to worship today comes from Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. May we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you and just want to give thanks and praise to you on this Thanksgiving Sunday. We have so many blessings that you have given us. It would take a whole week probably to just give thanks for each individual blessing that you show upon us. Father, we now just ask that you be with us during this service, that you be in the midst, that we can give you the honor and praise and glory that you so deserve as your children who love you. Now we ask all these favors and blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now we will join our hearts and our voices in hymn number 509. Now, Maxine's going to share with us. I picked out a clip of the shoeboxes, and I apologize, it's in their language, but you can read the captions, and it's not very long, but I just think it shows us of what, how much these shoeboxes, what a reach they have. Yes, the children get it and are tickled that they get a special gift or whatever, but it's much more than that, because they also evangelize to the parents and the families, and everyone gets to know about Jesus. So it's not just, oh, this little child gets a gift. It's much more. It's the greatest gift. It's the gift of Jesus to all of the family. So
thank you. Este es un coro. Se llama Yo tengo un amigo que me ama. Como nuestra región es de habla náhuatl, les llama mucho la atención escucharlo y cantarlo en náhuatl. Lo que conocemos como las Tres Huastecas, pues es un lugar que está en la República Mexicana. Este es un lugar que comprende tres estados de la República. No hay mucho evangelio en esta zona. A causa de eso, pues la gente es muy difícil.
Hay mucha idolatría, mucha brujería, hay prejuicios en la gente.
Aquí en la región huasteca, la religión, sobre todo la religiosidad, es una de las barreras que de alguna manera tratan de impedir, ¿verdad?, que la gente se acerque a Jesús, al amor de Dios.
El programa Operation Christmas Child ha sido de gran apoyo porque es una forma en la que nosotros hemos podido llegar a los pueblos donde no habíamos podido llegar. La forma en que nosotros tenemos que reaccionar ante la hostilidad o la oposición es con paciencia. Amar a la gente a pesar de que a veces odian el Evangelio. Sabemos que todo eso lo hacen por ignorancia, porque no conocen la verdad.
Cuando llegamos aquí a la escuela, las familias ya nos estaban esperando. Y ver a los niños expectantes de lo que pudiera pasar ahí en el corazón. Lo que venían las cejitas son presentes muy, muy bonitos. Jamás en su vida iban a recibir algo igual. Pues vi mucha alegría, mucho gozo de poder estar los niños recibiendo el regalo del Señor, el regalo del amor de Dios.
Nosotros estamos dispuestos a llegar con las buenas nuevas al corazón de la gente para que pues conozcan a Cristo, sean salvos y sus vidas sean mejoradas en todo sentido.
He said it takes a lot of patience, but just so you know that these boxes are more than just a gift in that box. It's a story that they tell to the whole community about Jesus and his love. Pastor Tracy, you going to do it? And we're going to have Pastor Tracy come up and do the blessing.
Well, we've enjoyed this for a number of years now. And I'm grateful to say that this year we have about 31, if I count right, 31 boxes. We've had as many as, I think, 50 or 70. And there we go. All right. She's got it for us. Thank you, Maxine. And so we're just grateful for all who have given, and we just want to ask a special blessing on these boxes. So. After church today, we'll be taking these over to the Faith Baptist Church, their collection site for Thunderbird area. I believe last year they had about 600 boxes from this area, and these will go and join other boxes from our county, from our state, and from all the states, and they'll find their way around the world. Many of these boxes will reach kids who have never gotten a Christmas present before. And you can see some of the remote places. They'll be loaded on boats and barges and flown all around the world, up creeks and back into villages that have never maybe have seen a shoebox before. So we're grateful for all who will be assisting in getting these boxes to where they need to go. And so would you pray with me, please, for God's blessing on them. Father God, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, Lord, we're just grateful for the opportunity that we have to celebrate again the holidays, to celebrate Christmas and your first incarnation, your first coming. as we look forward to your second coming. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to move mightily all through the world, that the gospel may be shared with everyone. And so, Lord, thank you for Frank and Graham, Billy Graham's son, and that organization that continues to provide the opportunities to reach out to people in need and to provide this Operation Christmas Child program. We thank you, Lord, for the volunteers that will come to warehouses like the one in Baltimore that will sort these boxes and package them and prepare them for ships and for airplanes to be flown and taken all around the world. And so, Lord, bless all the volunteers, bless all the logistics. Pray that everything would go smoothly, that the packages would arrive where they need to. We thank you, Lord, for the volunteers, the many pastors and church workers and leaders for Samaritan's Purse in those countries as well that will assist in sharing these boxes with those that need them, Lord. And so we just pray that you would bless each one, Lord. You know what is in each box. You know which child needs to receive that box. And so we pray, Lord, that you would connect the dots, that you would put these boxes in the right hands, and that they would have a powerful impact, not only on the child, but also in their family and their communities and their country. So, Lord, we pray a hedge protection around this project. We ask, Lord, you would move mightily. And thank you for the volunteers here in Claremont and around the world that will assist in delivering them. And so may your name be glorified, may the name of Christ be lifted up, and may many come to know the Savior. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.
We want to thank all that gave donations towards the freight costs, too, to help the ladies' aid. Okay. Next, we have call to giving. Offering box is in the back. It comes from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 9. Endless ruin has overtaken my enemies. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the peoples with equity. The Lord is a refuge to the oppressed and a stronghold in times of trouble. May we pray. Father, we thank you now for the many blessings that are in the donation box. And Father, we ask that you bless the giver as well as the gift. Help us to be good stewards of the money that we receive, that we may continue to build up your kingdom here on earth, that we may bring souls to you before it's eternally too late. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay. Now, sharers of joys and concerns. Who do we have? Karen? Wanda?
She's my friend Ruth.
Ruthie?
I've been three times now, but I played on the 30th, which is on the Saturday. I can't believe it's going to be surgery on Saturday, but that's when she's scheduled again, so.
Okay, Frank?
I can keep my wife on her prayers as far as she goes and begin to have the stents placed in her blockages.
Traveling mercies for my son and daughter-in-law. They're going down to see his sister.
Okay. Is that BJ?
BJ.
Yeah. Okay.
Kathy. It's a That's a 600-mile trip.
Yeah. North Carolina?
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Our son Wesley and his wife Paige will be coming in from Chicago the day after Thanksgiving, so we're looking forward to seeing some travelers.
Okay, so we got quite a few travelers. Keep us in your prayers too, Lord. The Lord will. Ralph and I will be traveling to Tennessee the day after Thanksgiving. Any others? Also, I want to put Michael Hobbs. Now, it's not the Michael Hobbs that was here at this church. It's Michael Hobbs of Susie Hobbs in Thurmont. Her son had a heart attack, and he had to have, I think, a triple bypass, and he was only like 20% of his heart working. So hopefully, you know, that the doctors are optimistic that it will increase. I think in a couple of days they had it up to 40, so the Lord will provide. But that's Michael Hobbs, Susie and Carl Toms. That's right. He's not a Hobbs. He's a Toms. I always think of her as Hobbs because that's her main name. It's Michael Toms. What did I tell you? I'm not awake. Michael Toms. Susie and Carl Toms, his son. Forgive me. Any others? Okay, let's come before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for allowing us to come to your house this day so that we may worship you, we may show you love, and we may honor you for all that you do. Father, just sometimes is just amazing to just stand back and take a look at all that your hands have created and all that you have done for us. Father, now the prayer list is long, and if we forget one, we know that you do not. You never forget. Father, we want to lift up those traveling this day. And the coming week, we think of Ron and Nancy heading back to warm weather. We think of BJ and his wife. We think of Wesley and Paige and Ralph and I. All will be travelers this coming week. So, Father, we just ask that you would put a hedge of protection, as Pastor Tracy always says, around them as they travel. We think of Ruthie, who's scheduled to have surgery. And I'm sure it's been a long, drawn-out wait for her, and I'm sure she's very anxious, Father. But you let her feel your peace and your love within that will help her get through this. We think of Pat, who has a procedure tomorrow. We ask that you be in the midst, that you guide the doctors and staff as they do the procedure. We think of Bob and Frank and others in this congregation that just need a little extra boost, a little extra healing power. Father, we think of Mike Toms, who's recovering from heart surgery. We just ask that you continue to have your healing hand upon him and be there for his mom, because this has been tough on her. It's tough on moms when they see their children ill. Father, we ask for peace and love to be spread throughout not only this country but the world, Father. We have too much hate. Just help us to to learn how to reach out in brotherly love. Father, we just ask that you would be with our government, and not only our government, but our educational leaders and our religious leaders. We just pray that they would come to you, humbly come before you, and ask for your guidance and your direction and your wisdom. Father, we think of the Baker family. We just ask that you continue to be with them, heal where needed. Father, we especially lift up Travis to you. This young man has a heavy burden, and we just ask that you would touch him in a mighty way. Father, now we just ask that you be with Brother Sam as he steps behind this pulpit, that you give him a special blessing for all that he does, and Sister Jackie, who's always there by his side and helping in any way. Father, we know that he has meditated and studied throughout the week, and we know that your words will flow through him. And as partakers of listening to those words, let there be a seed planted within us that when we go out the doors today, that we can spread what is spoken in here today. Father, now we thank you for all that you are and all that you do, and we now let us unite our voices in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I forgot.
We had a request for anointing, and so I'm going to ask Sister Pat to come forward at this time and pray for her specifically.
See if it's not written down.
There are other deacons that would like to join us in the prayer.
And if there's anyone else who wants to be anointed, feel free to come up to
take part. Sister has requested anointing here for our upcoming procedure tomorrow morning, and so we want to ask God's blessing on her. Before I do, I wanted to just read from the scriptures here from James 5. It tells us, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous man has great power in its effects. And so, Sister, as you prepare for tomorrow, is there anything that you would like to share? Anything that you would like to say? Prayers.
Yeah, it's my body prayer.
Okay.
It goes through a reasonable amount of time in the day.
Okay. Sister, we know that you believe the Lord and you love the Lord, is that right? And you desire His best for your life. The anointing oil is for the healing of our bodies. It's for the strengthening of our faith and for the confession and forgiveness of sins. And so, Sister, I'm going to anoint you here with a little Latter-Rain anointing oil. Sister, I want to anoint you now in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me and for her? Father God, thank you, Lord, for this dear life, this dear sister of ours. And we just ask, Lord, you might be with her tomorrow especially. We pray that you would give the doctors wisdom and skill, be with the nurses that care for her. We pray for her, Lord, that for a good outcome. We pray that all would go well through the procedure and that you would bring healing and wholeness, speedy recovery, Lord. And so we ask for extra strength for her. Meet her needs and be with Frank, Lord. We ask your blessing upon her. And pray that you would raise her up. She might give you honor and glory and praise. And we thank you, Lord, for these blessings and for the blessing of her in this congregation. God, move mightily, we pray. And it's in Jesus' name that we all say, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. We have two others that would like to receive anointing as well. And so, Frank, I want to anoint you also in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And Bob, anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Would you pray for these brothers? Father God, Lord, we thank you for these men. We ask you would continue to move mightily in their lives as well, Lord. And so bring healing and wholeness. And we pray you would ease the pain. We pray that you would give wisdom and direction. Forgive them where they have failed, Lord, and meet their needs. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Now, wait, may we do hymn number 508 for those who can please stand. Scripture reading today is Psalm 79, verse 13. The sermon is Praising God During Adversity. Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will praise you forevermore. From generation to generation, we will proclaim your praise. Brother Sam.
thought it was good to share the word of God. We'll adjust a little bit with this microphone a little closer with my voice. So when I came today at a Thanksgiving message, what I try to do is adjust the messages throughout the year. Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year, July 4th, church anniversary, which was last week. So this week, praising God during adversity. So I began to prepare this message about 2 weeks ago. And I tried to look at other psalms. I looked at Psalm 79. I like verse 13. But we got some doozies coming before we get there. And I thought, Lord, adversity? I want to talk about what a good time we had. And there's other psalms. And I looked at it. And just seemed like God says, I'm in Psalm 79. So I thought, all right, Lord, here we go. But I know in ministry what's going to happen. I thought, what adversity am I going to have? Because the devil always proves he's around. You talk about it, he'll show you. So I thought, some adversity, what's it going to be? So a week ago, I got my messages prepared. Things were going along pretty good. Week ago, Friday evening, nosebleed. How many of you ever had a nosebleed? It gets your attention. You don't postpone it. So I had a nosebleed. Saturday morning, week ago yesterday, nosebleed. Couldn't go with Frank to Mountain Gate. So I'm thanking the Lord. At least I don't have nosebleeds on Sunday. I shouldn't have said that. Last Sunday morning, we were back at our church in D.C. where we started, and they wanted me to come back and tell how the Lord led us to start the church. Well, I'm taking a shower to get ready to go. There's blood on the shower floor. Another nosebleed. And they're on the bathroom floor, and all on my shirt, and all over the place. And my wonderful wife said, Sam, just relax. I said, how can you relax with a nosebleed? But I know the high blood pressure makes it worse. So the 11 o'clock service, and we were to be there. We got there at 11:40. But they had a lunch and then an afternoon service. As the Lord would have it, my report was in four segments. They also invited my son, who grew up in that church, now a musician in another church, to provide music. So I did part one, Steve did a song. Part two, Steve did a song. So the new people of the church were impressed to see how my son and me worked together. So the Lord had all that planned. So we're good to go. Tuesday, I'm president of a mission, and we have a meeting in York, Pennsylvania. And we had planned to leave 15 minutes early. Here we go again. Another nosebleed. And so I was able to get it stopped. And the director said, we'll take care of all business except motions that need to be made. So we got there an hour late and made all the motions. And things went fine. So God has a way of doing it. But if this is to let the devil know we're discouraged, the answer is no way. We praise God through adversity. Some of you have been through adversity. It's a real test. I'm going to look at verse 13 first, then we'll go back to the rest of the chapter. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your grace and kindness. Thank you for the word. We praise you at all times, even when things are going rough. Bless now your word in Christ's name. Amen. I want to begin with verse 13 because it looks so ideal. And we've already had it read once. So we'll just look at it again. So we, thy people, and the sheep of your pasture, give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Don't you just love some people that are always cheerful, always praising the Lord? You get saved, smooth sailing, blue skies, calm breeze, sun at your back, accept Jesus, and all your problems are gone. Now, anybody have a problem recently? Is it true that way? Or sometimes there's bumps in the road. And so we a real test. Are we going to praise the Lord at all times or just when things go this way? When we pray to the Lord, would we agree God always answers? Is no an answer? Your children growing up, a no meant no. So sometimes God says no. Some famous New York story, I don't know who it is. She said she prayed to God, and God didn't answer. So she doesn't believe in God. Question. Is her problem solved? You think it's hard walking with the Lord. What if you don't walk with the Lord? What if you go on your own? What if you don't follow directions? What if you use a hammer instead of a screwdriver? I'm not going to give any illustrations because you know too many of them yourself, fellas, don't you? So here we are, trusting the Lord when things are going rough. We had a lady in our church, name was Jean. She had a this was probably 40, 50 years ago. She had the type of cancer that was only treated in Zion, Illinois. In those days, they thought you could freeze cancer. So they put her in a container surrounded by as cold a water as you get to try to freeze the cancer out of her body. Can you imagine how that would feel to be almost frozen? She'd go there, come home on Sunday, come to church, just praising the Lord, cheerful and smiling. And you think, my, I wish I had a life like Jean. You wouldn't want it. It wasn't a circumstance. It was a relationship to the Lord. So we want to go back now and see how we praise the Lord during adversity. Verses 1 to 4. I've asked Pastor Tracy to read those verses 1 through 4.
O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. Your holy temple they have defiled. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps. The dead bodies of your servants they have given as food for the birds of the heavens. The flesh of your saints to the beast of the earth. Their blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to those who are around us.
And all the people said, praise the Lord. Well, I don't know. That's pretty rough. Those are some rough verses. We think it refers to 2 Chronicles and the destruction of Jerusalem, where it was horrible. They destroyed the temple where people worshiped the Lord. They were heathen. And there's problems about this. How would God let a heathen nation judge his people? Well, 2 Chronicles 36:15 says, God sent prophets. They would not believe. The wrath of God came till there was no remedy. Suppose God gave us what we really deserved. We're going to deal with that later on. But some of the suffering, and I'm not thinking about anybody here, but over the years, are there people that suffer because of their own foolishness? We have a relative. Smoked cigarettes all her life. Tried to get her to stop smoking. You know how she stopped? On oxygen the rest of her life. You do something wrong, you pay a price. Now, it's not sin, but our grandson, who is in the military, has three fingers. Because one got caught in a plane. He has three now. He started with four, but one of those got caught. Again, he's got his thumb. But there's one finger missing because he's in a planer, and the planer, he was pushing along something in this way and cut off his finger. Is it going to grow back? No. What we're thankful was he didn't push it this way. So being thankful this way, not this way. So sometimes we've seen people, and you might say, what do you expect? One of the things that all of us hate, when we go to the doctor, he says, have you been following my directions? Are you taking my prescriptions? No, because I know better than a doctor. Yeah? Well, then why are you back at it? So some of these verses, verses 1 to 4, is part of our own problems. We've known of people that have bad driving habits. Bad driving habits on US 15 can be dangerous or fatal. Or even worse yet, killing someone else. When the people coming out of Pennsylvania going 65, they're going 75 in Pennsylvania, 10 miles over the limit. They're in Thurmont. They're still going 75. Accidents happen. We live in a senior citizen community. Occasionally, when I hear of someone getting killed on US 15, seriously, I look to see how old are they. Because we get older, our reflexes are slower, our judgment is not as good, but we're daring can be bad. So some of these adversities that we go through are part of our own problem. So thank the Lord, he doesn't give us everything we deserve. Plus, salvation is not deserved. It comes from the Lord. So let's look now at verses 5 through 7, now that we've got all this problem in Jerusalem.
How long, Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place.
When things go wrong, am I the only one who says, when is God going to do something? When is God going to put that guy in his place? Do you ever see these politicians and people that are cheating? And you know they are. And when is God going to do something? I mean, whack them. Man, I'd like to get my hands on that politician, what I would do to him. How long, Lord? How long do we have to wait? As I've told you, one of my expressions gets me in trouble sometimes. Let's get the show on the road. If we're going to do something, do it. Get on with it. And God just kind of waits. Judgment will come eventually. When our Maryland grandchildren were growing up, the ones in the Army now, when they were little children, one time we were somewhere, and they thought it was entertaining to put in their drink some mashed potatoes, stir around mashed potatoes in your drink. And then they would put in, see if peas would float. Maybe a couple beans. And they were mixing this drink all around, stirring around. And I'm watching my daughter-in-law, who's a great disciplinarian. And I'm thinking, what is Chris trying to do with these kids? So the meal is over. We get ready to leave. Drink it. She made them drink. I don't know what it tastes like, but it was the only time it ever happened. So what I'm saying is judgment will come. God has his plan. We'll see something about that later on. Habakkuk 1:13. You are pure eyes than to behold iniquity. You cannot look on those who deal treacherously. You hold your tongue when the wicked devours a man that's more righteous than he. I mean, they were saying, we are better than them. God, when are you going to deal with Babylon? Those are heathen. They worship idols. We worship God. And you're letting them destroy our house? Luke chapter 9. Jesus was walking through a village, and the village did not receive him. And James and John said, Lord, would you have us command fire and come down and consume them? I mean, it's turn or burn now. In my senior year in college, I had a roommate from Mars, Pennsylvania. I called him the man from Mars. He had a twin who wasn't saved. So we had a class on personal evangelism. During semester break, he went home and practiced witnessing and winning his brother to the Lord. His brother said no. He got a headlock and threw him down the steps. He said, no, I don't think your brother's going to get saved thrown down the steps. I understand. You mean you don't accept Jesus? Pow! It doesn't work that way. Revelation chapter 6. I can understand this. How long, O Lord? You are holy and true. You do not judge and avenge our blood on those that dwell on the earth. When are you going to put a stop to this? Jonah, what a man. God said, go to Nineveh, preach. What did he do? Let me tell you something. If you're going to run from God, don't get in a boat. Whatever you do, don't get in a boat. And he did. And the story, how his whale swallowed him, came back. God told him to go to Nineveh and preach. I can't believe it. When he preached, the whole city got saved. And he got angry. Have you ever had an evangelist here at the church preach a great message? And everybody says, praise the Lord. And he gets angry. Jonah got displeased and says he was very angry. But he said, I knew you were a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. The enemy got saved. There is a group, and I'm not sure which mission it is, but their goal is to win illegal immigrants to Christ. Well, that's I got to think about that. For these guys come over here. They come in our country. They're part of these gangs. And you're trying to win them to Christ. My idea is ship them out first thing in the morning. Maybe not even wait the morning. And they're saying, win them to the Lord. What's happening then? Some of these are getting saved. Now they got a problem. What are they going to do about the legal status? So there's some situations there. Well, you have to deal with that. Render to Caesar what's Caesar. So God works there. 2 Peter 3:9. Why is it like this? God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans 2:4. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Now, while we're right here right now and we want God to zap them. Okay. Suppose the next time you do something wrong, God zaps you. Is the seminary big enough back here to take all of us? So we're going to see now in verses 8 and 9 a whole change in attitude.
Oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us. For we have been brought very low. Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us, and provide atonement for our sins, for your name's sake.
Isn't it interesting? We have down here in verse 8, O remember not against us our former iniquities. But up in verse 6, pour out your wrath. You ever know people that for them, they want mercy, but they'll zap somebody else. Have you ever known people that are critical of other people's faults but don't see their own? They got a category of all the things you do wrong, but they don't see their own. We see it. Isn't it easy to see others rather than us? Well, I'm made this way, but you're a sinner. Wait a minute here now. They'll say, Lord, give us a break, but zap the other fellow. So sometimes it's God's mercy that accomplishes more than God's judgment. Now, obviously, we talk about God's judgment. God will chasten us, but sometimes it's a place like this that God gives us mercy. It tells us in Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there's forgiveness with you. Lamentations 3:22, talk about adversity. Read the book of Lamentations. Jeremiah is 5 chapters, but just lament, 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 lament. You need to be cheerful when you start, because it can be depressing. But in the middle of all of this adversity, he wrote 5 chapters. Lamentations 3:20. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Now, I know we talk about striking them dead. I've heard people sometimes say, if I'm lying, may lightning strike me. I say, could you go outside? I don't want that lightning to hit the house. So there's mercy sometimes rather than always just hammering judgment. Judgment is coming. Sure. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the Holy Spirit. So we need, even as parents, we need to know, when do you show mercy and when do you show judgment? With me, with our children growing up, it was not always what they did. It was the attitude when they were caught. And my son did not figure out why I knew that until he had a son. Why do we know these things? It never entered his mind that maybe I was like that when I was younger, maybe my dad, I don't know how far back it goes. But one time, our son, it was in a Christian school, but he got in with some crowd that was not too good. And about once a week, he'd get in serious trouble. Get in serious trouble. Had to be this one. And next week, and it went on for a good while. And one day, I think it happened on a Thursday. And I said, Steve, tomorrow you're not going to go to school. I took him out of school. We lived down in the D.C. area. I brought him up here to Frederick. And I just drove around, showed him family history. I never said a word about what happened in the school. Never mentioned school. I just said, there's where Major George Martz's farm is. There's where your great-grandfather's farm is. There's where your mother, grandmother was born. Here's where your grandfather lived. And I just took him around. We hiked. We went back to White Rock, the White Rock in the mountain. As we're hiking, I forgot it was on the second ridge. So it was a little further than I anticipated, but we walked. We went to the Dandy restaurant in those days, stayed overnight, went by our farm, showed my uncles. We spent the whole day together. Never talked about anything in school. I had one goal in mind. I wanted to make sure his relationship with me was stronger than his relationship with any of his kids in school, even him. I think my wife would verify I accomplished that. So we have that tight relationship. But I could have hammered him, paddled him, but showing that mercy, and the school administration was not happy with me. They criticized me for doing it. Until the next week, the next month, the rest of that year through his senior year, no more problems. So sometimes when God shows us mercy, we know what's coming. And so down here in this verse, say, Lord, remember us and let your tender mercy be on us. Help us. Then we go to verses 10 through 12, remembering God's reputation.
Why should the nations say, where is their God? Let there be known among the nations in our sight the avenging of the blood of your servants, which have been shed. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. According to the greatness of your power, preserve who are appointed to die, and return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach for which they have reproached you, O Lord.
Verse 12. Don't you like this? Render to them sevenfold. Give it to them. Lay them out. How about Peter? Matthew 18. Peter is really going to, he's going to be a saint for the Lord. He said, Jesus, should I forgive my neighbor 7 times? I mean, in baseball, how many? 3 strikes are out. I'm a generous guy. I'll give him 7 strikes. I wish that was true when I was playing softball, baseball. 7 strikes. And Jesus, what did Jesus say to him? That's really good. What did Jesus say? Not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Now, I don't think that literally means you've got a record book. I can say you're down to 452 right now. I don't think that's what he meant. It meant don't keep a record on someone else. God will take care of his reputation. Here's one that I quote from time to time. Isaiah 64:1-2. Oh, that you would open the heavens, that you would come down from the mountains, that you would flow down as your present and melt like burning fire, causing the water to boil, to make your name known among the adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. Oh, that God would split the Catoctin Mountains, but keep Thermon safe. Blast this place, but protect Rocky Ridge. I don't know if that's a good way to go at it or not. We're worried about God's reputation. Let me tell you something. God will take care of his reputation. People today, it's sad, think they're getting away. No one gets away. Eventually, we show up. It shows up somewhere, even for us. Children get away with things for a while. What saddens me about school compared to my days in school, the kids get away with things at school. What are they going to do when you hire them for your job? Are they going to do the same thing? In Frederick High School, enter to learn, go forth to serve. In our senior year, they kept telling us in Frederick High School, we're not here to get you to graduate. We're to get you here to be prepared for life beyond graduation. And I feel sorry for kids that don't have a sense of responsibility. God will bring judgment. God will work at them. Now we go to verse 13. Resolving to always praise the Lord. Teresa?
So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations.
After we're going through everything here, God knows what's best. God sees all this is going on. God's aware. I didn't back up here with this Babylon. They couldn't say, how could God let Babylon, those heathen people, come in here and destroy our people? And they took the treasures out of the house of the Lord. 70 years later, Book of Daniel, they were having a little drinking party. And they were just about as south as you can get. Handwriting on the wall. Mina, Mina, Tekel, your first son. You've been weighed in balances, found wanting, your kingdom divided. That night, the Roman Empire fell. Now, they didn't. Some of the people never saw that. Jack, what was I? The what? Okay. The Babylonian kingdom fell. Handwriting on the wall. Then the Persians came in. Daniel lived through this. So I've lived long enough to know, and to some of us, people eventually get caught. We call it stupid thieves, but it's a way of God catching. So God will take care of his name. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me. The book of Job, what's the problem in the book of Job? Satan is accusing Job. And I felt like this last week, Satan's accusing me. And said, by God's grace, I'll be here. Satan is not going to stop me from this pulpit. If God wants me here, notably or not, I can go for a little bit, just in case. But I want to tell you something. God is a great God. He will see us through his darkest days. We have a pastor friend of mine, age 40, a 37-year-old wife, is in the final stages of colon cancer. Every email, I think, will be it. I don't think she'll be here by Christmas, probably not Thanksgiving. And she wanted him yesterday to send out an email that everyone, here she is dying, her lungs are filling up and they can't empty it out fast enough. She wants everybody to know she still loves Jesus. Can you imagine? Here she is. She'll never get out of the hospital. And she wants people to know, I still love Jesus. That's what this verse is talking about. We love the Lord. Difficult times, God will see us through. Acts 5:41. They counted shame. They counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Do you ever have somebody reject you because you're a Christian? And say, well, I'm glad I'm on God's team. Everybody has a bad reputation somewhere. The world gives us a bad reputation, but we're accepted in the beloved. I'd rather have the praise of God than the praise of man. And then in Revelation it says, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of testimony, and love not their life unto the death. We will never know how many people have died for the cause of Christ. How many people down through the centuries? Stephen, the first one in the Bible, died for the Lord. People today around the world are dying for the Lord, but God's faithful. And then 2 Corinthians, about the Apostle Paul. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That word buffet means to hit with a fist. Lest I should be exalted above measure. I besought the Lord three times, it might depart from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength will be made perfect in weakness. He said, I will gladly glory in my infirmity. The power of Christ may rest upon me. My own self. Here I am at this age. When I was a young preacher, I get up on Sunday morning. I was so excited. I couldn't wait to hear what I'm going to say. I get up on mornings now and say, Lord, if you don't give me strength, I'll never make it. Now, am I weaker or wiser? So what can we do without the Lord? Trust the Lord and always praise him. He knows what's best for all of us. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your word. Pray now each of us will praise you at all times for your glory. In Christ's name.